Just one verse this morning, but we're going to move around quite a bit this morning. This will be part of a three-step process that we introduced to you last week that's really simple. It's right in the text of Scripture. Last week we talked about how the old man was. They were have their understanding darkened. They were alienated from the life of God. They were past feeling and so forth. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, in chapter 4, verse 20, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And then Paul gives us three verses. We're just going to deal with the first one today. In verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Whenever change takes place in your life, spiritual change, whether you consciously know it or not, you go through these three steps. Put off, renew, put on. Can you say those with me this morning? Everybody together, ready? Put off, renew, put on. Okay. I may do that in the middle of the message too, since so many of you were asleep in the first service. I got to figure out something to wake you up, all right? In other words, in every time we get to the point of change, we have to be willing to put off something that we know is wrong. We have to change our mind about that wrong because we've been thinking differently. And then we have to put on that which God tells us to put on in its place. Because most of the time, the devil uses God's good things as bad. In other words, he doesn't have the ability to create his own things. He just takes what God's created good and makes it bad. So if you say, well, I need to be bold in Christ, the devil likes us to be brash. Okay? So we work through that. We have to put off, change our mindset about what God actually says, and then put on what Jesus says to us. Let me deal with a couple of introductory things as we go through this. Some would say of this text of Scripture that all of these things took place at salvation. Well, from a positional standpoint, it did. In other words, the old man was put off positionally, your mind was renewed positionally, and you put on Christ positionally. The problem is that didn't practically happen. For everybody in this room, you already know that. How do I know that you know that? How many of you have sinned since salvation? Everybody in the room. So therefore, I already know that not all your sin was put away. Now, again, positionally, it's under the blood. Practically, you and I have to deal with this every single day. And what Paul is saying here is, now that you have the ability to put off, renew, put on, I want you to do that. And I want you to do it all the time. One author said it this way, the apostle often described who believers already are while also pointing to what they should strive to become. The practical paradox is that while freedom from sin's eternal penalty is already ours, freedom from the former way of life, a life of sin, comes only through our daily quest for obedience and purity. These are lifestyle commitments that every believer is called to make, end quote. What a powerful truth that is, that we have to take what God has given us and we have to daily do some things with it. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Literally, the idea is old things are passing away. All things are becoming new. What a powerful truth it is. Now, let me give you a couple of other just kind of illustrations as we work through this. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter number 7. We'll look at some practical illustrations of some things. Because what I want you to be able to do when we get through with this is that whatever your issue is, you run up against a sin in your life, that you can apply these principles. Put off that sin. I realize it's wrong. Put it off. What does God say about it? I'm going to put on whatever God wants me to. So let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. The most famously quoted verse in churches today, all right? For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Okay, so he's not telling us that we can't cast out of someone else. He's telling us, let's work on us before we do that, all right? Now, there's a lot that's said in here, but I want you to jump over here to verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Okay, so question for you, and you can talk to me a little bit here this morning. What do the false prophets look like? Sheep. They don't look like wolves, they look like sheep. Okay? In other words, they look like you and I many times. All right? And that's important for us. Verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Sorry, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, keep your fingers here and just turn over to Matthew 12. Matthew 12 and verse 33. The Bible says in Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. All right, just quickly, let me kind of draw this to what we're talking about here today, all right? The Bible is not saying, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, that we can't ever judge anyone. That's not what it's saying. What it is saying is, don't be pointing so many fingers at everybody else when you've got plenty in your life that's wrong. Okay, so deal with what's in your life, and then you can point out other things in other people's life. The Bible's not saying that we should not call out people who are wrong. And he makes it very clear here, by their fruit, you will know them. Okay, now, if you were, let's say you were in Central Florida, okay, and you walked up to a tree that looks like a citrus tree, okay, how would you know what kind of citrus tree it is? You're like, well, I can actually tell all those because I've studied that in school. Okay, smarty pants, that's good. But most common people cannot. Matter of fact, honestly, most experts can't, because a lot of the citrus trees look the same. There's one sure way to know what it produces. So let's see if we can follow this logic here, okay? If you pull something off the tree and it's an orange, what kind of tree is it? Orange tree. See how smart you guys are? It's amazing, isn't it? If you pull an orange off the tree and eat it and you're like, wow, you're an orange tree, and the fruit and the tree says back to you, problem number one. And if you talk to the tree without thinking about it, that's problem number two. But nevertheless, all right, you say back to the tree says to you, actually, you're wrong, pal. I'm a grapefruit tree. What would you say to the tree? Well, I'm sorry, but your fruit says you are an orange tree. Okay. Some of you look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. This is really not complicated. And I know I'm oversimplifying it, but this is really important. The Word of God draws these correlations. So if in my life I have bad kind of fruit, then am I generally a good person? No. I'm a bad tree because I'm producing bad fruit. Okay? Now, I make my classes say this too. I'm not going to make you say everything that I say. But in order to change the fruit, you change the root. Okay? In order to change the fruit, you change the root. Now, this is where we're going with this whole idea of put off. Many times, when we come to a decision, we're convicted in a service, in our personal devotions, at a revival, a camp, whatever, okay? So we think, wow, okay, this fruit of lying is wrong, and I know it. I'm going to solve that. Here's what we do. We pick all the fruit off the tree that's lying, put it in a basket, and burn it to the ground. Good job. But let me ask you, what kind of tree is that still? Still a lying tree. Because that's what fruit is producing, all right? Okay, I'll get real radical. I'll chop it down. Good. Chop down a citrus tree. It'll take a little bit longer for it to produce fruit, but when it does, what kind of fruit is it going to produce? Same kind of fruit. Because you haven't changed the core of who that person is, okay? So I have to change root. I have to dig down in, get all the roots out of there, and put a new tree, apple or whatever, okay? And it was funny. A number of years ago, we did a scavenger hunt, and we went up and down Canterbury Road on, I think it was a hayride or something, and I had marked out a bunch of stuff. None of my youth staff, I won't mention if any of them are still in here, or my teenagers knew what a banana tree looked like. Like, none of them were like, We didn't see a banana tree, whatever. I'm like, it's right on the side of the road. They'd never seen a banana tree before. And I'm like, okay, well, then you didn't grow up in South Florida, apparently. So, and you haven't searched the internet or whatever. You know, how do I know it's a banana tree? Well, there's bananas hanging on it. They may look a little bit different than they do in the store, but there's bananas hanging on it. Okay, Jesus is illustrating to us that we have to change the root system. Now, what is our root system, really? Well, it's a little bit of a lengthy statement, but I want you to listen to it. This is not original with me. But you and I do what we do, and we say what we say, because we want what we want. We want what we want because we believe what we believe about God, about His Word, and about ourselves. So in other words, I have to change my thinking process, which we'll get to with the renew, okay, before it will produce the right kind of tree, the right kind of fruit from that tree. Because what I am is how I think. The Bible says that, doesn't it? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's who we are in all these processes, okay? So Jesus is saying to them, you can look at someone and know what they are based on the fruit they produce in their life. So when you look at your Christian life, what kinds of fruits are you producing? You're like, well, what kind of fruit am I supposed to be producing? I don't know. Something like maybe the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. By the way, this idea of fruits is throughout Scripture. So if hanging from my tree is not love, joy, peace, long-suffering, then I got to start changing the root system, okay? But the first step is I got to say, hey, I got to put this off, okay? The word put off literally means to take off and to lay aside. That's what it means, okay? It's a clothing illustration, right? So it is, I take this off and I lay it aside. I put it somewhere else. That's what the idea of take off is. So I have to take off the sin. Practically, positionally, that sin's already dealt with. Practically, I have to do that every day. Now, when I was a boy, I loved playing outside, okay? Matter of fact, my favorite thing to do was to play outside without shoes on. My feet were like leather. I could walk on asphalt in the middle of summer in Florida and it not bother me a lick, okay? We had a drive. Our driveway was made out of what's called shell rock, and it's exactly what you think it is. It's crushed sea shells packed into a driveway, but it could be sharp as anything. It didn't bother me at all. I loved it, okay? But for some reason, when I got home at night, by the way, when I grew up in South Florida, the dirt in South Florida is so dark. It's so rich. The dirt itself will burn. Like, it's called a muck fire. Right? It's so rich that it will burn itself. It's that way. Well, it will absolutely turn you into a dark person very quickly, okay? Well, for some reason, when I came in at night, my mom wanted me to take a bath. Right? Mothers are that way. Horrible that they are. Not only did she want me to take a bath, but for some reason, I wasn't allowed to put my favorite clothes back on. Go figure that, right? She didn't want those dirty clothes back on my clean self. That's the picture that Paul is saying here. He's saying the way your former conversation, the previous way that you used to live, the life described for you in verses 17 through 19 of Philippians chapter 4. He said you're not to go back that way. You're not to live that way. And Paul is going to work them through this process. The old man, that is the former. Okay, the way it used to be, which is corrupt, it's rotten, it's bad. You ever had a basket of apples and at the bottom of it was a rotten one? If you go to reach for one of those, it all of a sudden changes your tune about whether or not an apple is going to be good. Like, the other apples may be good, but it's like, oh man, as my grandson would say, that is disgusting. That's what he says. That stuff's disgusting, right? I'm like, I would have to agree with you on that, right? That's our self. And our self is deceitful. It's dishonest. One person says it's self-centered lusts are deceitful because they promise joy but fail to provide it. These lusts are desires or cravings that we have. So he says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, this is important for us as we move forward as well. One of the reasons it's so important for us to be in church and to spend time in God's word is because this flesh is deceitful. It makes you think you're okay. But have you ever noticed that the word of God doesn't let you stay that way if you spend time in it? It's constantly confronting you where you're wrong. Attitudes, actions, things you're about to do, it's saying, whoa, 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 wait a minute. No. You can't do that. Like, well, I think I can. No, you can't, right? Like, it's not going to happen. So here's the central thought of this passage. Though we are saved and have a new nature, we must daily put off the old man. And you say, Pastor, you sure it's daily? No, I'm not sure. Sometimes it's every minute. Every second we have to put off that old man because our default mode is him. That's where we go to when we're given a chance. So what are the characteristics of this old man? Well, Paul laid them out for us in 17 and 18 and 19. We talked about this last week, but let's read it quickly. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. What a description of the old man. Look at Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. Paul, again, describes for us here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, mortify therefore your members, that is, put them to death. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, and in which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. Again, he's describing the former conversation, right? But now ye also, here's our word, put off all these, wrath, anger, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the things of him that have created him. See, there's our three-step process. Put off, renew, put on. Same described for us. Paul describes this old man. And it's a description that's not very fun, honestly. And I said to you last week, and it again bears mentioning, that we need to recognize ourselves as that bad. Because the more we recognize who we really were, the more glorious the gospel is to us. This is what it describes me. You're like, well, I don't think I'm really that bad. Then you probably don't appreciate the gospel as much either. And Jesus makes that point, doesn't he, in the New Testament? When he says that those have been forgiven much, love much. So the characteristics of the old man. Is there anything different in our life since salvation? In other words, there ought to be changes taking place because of our salvation. You should be able to point to those eventually. Now, it may not happen overnight. For some people, it does. Some people say, I got saved and this went immediately. But this and this and this didn't, you know. But you should be able to look back and see, hey, things are different. If nothing else, there should now be an internal struggle inside of you. Okay, and that leads us to then the current conflict. What's happening inside of us? Well, let's turn to Galatians, if you would, please. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians 5. We'll read this text, and then we'll come back and make some comments on it. But we'll notice some same wording that Paul's used in the book of Ephesians. This I say then, walk, there's one of his words, in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And we're going to break down this whole passage. But Paul makes it very clear that there's a potential for us to walk in the Spirit or to walk in the flesh. He's talking to Christian people. He's talking to people who know Christ as their Savior. We can fulfill, that is, accomplish what our lusting hearts want. This word lust simply means the desires or cravings of the flesh. And they're contrary one to the other. This fight keeps me from doing right and by default does wrong. In other words, this flesh and spirit now have this war going on inside of them. Again, I'm not saying anything that you don't know. Because if you're saved, you've got that. That war that takes place within us is constant. Have you ever thought or said, I just wish it would stop? Like, I don't want to do that anymore. Join everybody else, including the Apostle Paul. Because that's exactly what he said, all right? It's like, I don't want to come to church and do this event with a wrong motive. I don't want to be proud. I don't want to be. I mean, we could say all these things. It's the conflict that's taking place there. And Paul lists for us immoral sins. He lists idolatrous sins. He lists individual sins that are committed there. These immoral sins: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's self-abandonment, revelings, that is carousing or partying, idolatry and witchcraft, idolatrous sins that he mentions there, individual sins, in other words, that which is committed against others, hatred, variance, which is contention, emulations, that's envy or jealousy, wrath or indignation, strife, that's contentious or self-ambition, seditions, that's dissension, heresies, that's sect factions. In other words, they create sects among themselves. S-E-C-T, okay? their envious, their murderous, their drunkenness. These are all taking place because we have this conflict within us. We could go to Romans chapter 7. We won't take the time to do that. But Paul says in Romans 7 verses 23 and 24 that he was warring, the law of my members, warring against each other. That always blows my mind when I read guys who say, once you're saved, you no longer have a problem. You're just saved and everything's perfectly fine. And I'm like, what planet did you fall off of? Matter of fact, sometimes I tell people, listen, if you come to know Christ as your Savior, the battle may just be beginning. In other words, things may not get better for you. They may get worse because you used to be able to go out and do X and it didn't bother you a lick. It's going to bother you now because now the Holy Spirit's saying, probably shouldn't do that. Don't think that. No, don't make that. Oh, you said that wrong. That's where the Holy Spirit's working. And your flesh is going, are you kidding me? That was mild for what I wanted to say. And have you heard the way my coworker spoke to me? And that's what the flesh is doing, right? Anybody ever had those kind of things happen to you, right? It's like, it's just, yeah, it's this war that's taking place. And sometimes, honestly, sometimes it's exhausting because we have that taking place within us. Paul's conflict was because he was saved. You heard the old adage, you know, which dog becomes the strongest dog is the one that you feed the most. You starve a dog, he may be mean, but he's not going to have a whole lot of strength in the process. So who is winning the conflict in your life on a day-by-day basis? Who's winning that conflict? If you looked at your life, could you say, the Spirit has got the upper hand, but boy, it's barely. Or, nah, I'm pretty much losing this battle. Or, well, I have some issues, but by and large, I walk in the Spirit. That is something only you can answer as the Holy Spirit of God works in your life. Well, Paul says that there's characteristics of the old man, the current conflict that's taking place. Number three, there's a choice. There's a choice. This is really important again. Putting off is a choice. It's a choice that we make, okay? If it's not, then you're trapped and there's no hope. That's the deal. In Romans chapter 6, we could spend a lot of time in Romans chapter 6, which is a tremendous passage of scripture, by the way. Paul says in Romans chapter 6 that we are free from sin. But Paul uses a number of words in that chapter, things like this. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves unto God, and so forth. He uses those kind of conditions. All right, let me ask you a question. Doesn't yielding yourselves to your members, which is your flesh, or yielding yourself to God, does it sound like you got a choice? You do. Now, when you get to a yield sign, you don't have to obey it. You don't have to. You don't have to yield. You might get away with it. And you might not. And you might not remember that you didn't get away with it. Right? It is a choice that you make. You don't have to yield at a yield sign. But Paul is saying, look, whomever we yield ourselves to is to whom we're obeying. Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. That's it. Is Paul saying that we can yield and yield and yield and eventually be saved? No, no, no. Again, he's talking about people who are saved. Who are we going to yield ourselves to? Every time I sin, I choose to sin. Don't believe the bunk out there that says you don't have a choice. Because if you have no choice, you have no hope. That's the bottom line. You have no hope. Now, I don't want to be unkind to people. Are there some sins in some situations that are harder to make the right choice? Absolutely. Absolutely. They're much harder. Listen, I can stand up here today and say you 100% no questions asked. If someone told me that I needed to deny Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm not going to do it. But if somebody has a gun to one of my children or one of my grandchildren and says, deny him, that's a different story. And if he blows the first person's head off and then asks me again, that's a different story. And if you don't think so, you're in trouble. So I'm not saying there's not levels of difficulty, but we still have a choice. We still have a choice. Putting off is a choice. We have to die to the old way of living. Colossians 3 and verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And then he lists a bunch of those. Literally, we need to kill the old man. I was preaching this one time, and I was talking about the old man and all that kind of stuff, and I just blurted out, kill that old guy. And my wife, it just caught her by surprise, and she started laughing like I might have been talking about some old guy walking in the back door or something like that. No, I'm talking about the one that's living inside of you, right? And he's there all the time. He's constantly working through those things. Romans 6, by the way, is a great passage of scripture for you to work through personally and to memorize. So will you and I make the choice to put off the old man? If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you've never repented of your sins and trusted him as your Savior, can I tell you it's the best decision you'll ever make? You need to settle that. But for most of us in this room, we've already made that decision. But what decisions do we make every day? How do we choose the old way or the new way every single day? So how do I do that? Okay, well, the Bible gives us a really fairly easy formula. That is, first off, we confess and forsake. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 28 and verse 13 says, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So simply put, I have a choice about it. Therefore, I come to God and say, God, what I've been doing is wrong, and I'm going to walk away from it. That's a choice that I get to make. And because of the gospel, I can make. In other words, the power of the Holy Spirit will help me make that choice, but I have to make that choice. And then number two, restitution needs to be made. If this choice involved sin with others, and can I say this to you? Rarely does our sin only impact us. Rarely. The devil will try to convince you that your sin only impacts you, but that is rare. And there is story after story after story after story in this room, and you could confirm that. Many of you have stories of how other people's sin has had a massive impact on you. Restoration. Paul says in Acts chapter 24, herein do I exercise myself to be void of offense towards God and towards man. Whatever needs to happen, that needs to happen. You've got to get that right. Will we do what is necessary to be right with God and right with man? And boy, is that hard sometimes, isn't it? Have any of you ever had this conversation with God? Well, God, I got that right with you. And after all, it's been a couple of years ago anyway. Do I really need to go and talk to that person? Must I? I mean, what if they've already forgotten it, God, and it'll just bring it up again? As if God doesn't know everything about the situation. As if God doesn't know whether they've forgotten it or not. Now, by the way, you say, but wait a minute. The Bible does say it's the glory of a man to pass over matter. So if you can pass over it, there's times when we can do that, all right? But if I've sinned against this person, I need to get that right. And boy, that's painful sometimes. And the devil would love to convince us it's okay to just take care of it ourselves, but we need to make restitution to others. So Paul says, put off. Take it off, throw it aside. Put off the old man. Right? Which is corrupt. The former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Lord willing, in a couple of weeks, we'll get back to the renew and the put on. But I will just give you a little bit of hint, okay? Renewal has to do with being in the Word of God as the Word of God saturates your mind. that's something that we can do now. So will you choose to put off the old man? Salvation, boy, you need to take care of that. But daily living, how much of the old man is dominating your life? What kind of fruit are you seeing on your tree? What kind of fruit do your kids see on the tree? Your wife or husband see on the tree? The people who are around you, your coworkers, what kind of fruit do they see on the tree? That's the kind of fruit we need to get rid of unless it's godly fruit. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for sometimes just the very practicalness of the word of God, how we need this, how we need to be reminded of it. Many of the people in this room have heard something similar to this before, but we just need to be reminded of these simple truths that if we're going to be what you want us to be, we have to continue to put off that old man. Help us, Lord, to do so individually, as a church family, whatever we need, may that be the case, and we'll thank you for it. Heads bowed and eyes closed, can I just ask you a quick question? How many of you say, Pastor, the truth is, I need to put off some old things, some former conversation things. I need to put it off. And I was reminded today that though I'm saved, some of those things are evident in my life. That fruit that's hanging is not good. God's just really convicted me, and I want to start that process of changing the root so I can change the fruit. Would you slip up your hand? That's me. There are some things that I know need to change. I need to put off some things. Can I challenge you? If it's been weeks, months since you've put off anything, you're probably deceived. That corrupt flesh has probably got you deceived. Be careful. Because what Satan would love to do is tell us, we're okay. You're fine, just like you are. Will you stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed? They're going to begin to quietly play. If God's spoken, would you respond? We'd love to help you. Put off, renew, put on.